Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, my dear friends. It is November the 13th of the year of our Lord 2021. It's Usama Dakdak from Orange, Texas. Say hello to you, and it is our joy to have you with us in this wonderful podcast as we will be studying tonight together our third part of our presentation, Women in Islam. With me tonight, as usual, our producer and our co-host, Christy Johnson from the state of Mississippi. And hello, Christian, how are you?
Well, Usama, I'm doing really great. I'm encouraged by a lot of things that are going on, but as you know, the devil's always busy. So there's always something terrible going on with Islam. There's always something terrible going on in America that many of us know we have to keep praying and keep speaking out the truth, right?
Sure, absolutely. Brother Adam will be joining us a little bit later. He just sent me a text. He's a little bit behind, but whenever the Lord is willing, he will be part of our ministry, as maybe we need his expertise on doing stuff, which I do not know how to do. But between you and I and the Lord, until Brother Adam comes, we'll just do our best.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what, Christy? Traveled yesterday, as I was showing you a little bit earlier, a good 10 hours to come from the west side of Texas to the east side of Texas, where I am right now, very close to Louisiana. And it was a fun trip. And I did not realize, you know, it's amazing how big Texas is, as I showed you. I want you to tell people where I'll be speaking tomorrow, as those will be close to me. And I'm not going to say if you're in Texas close to me, because as I said earlier, you could be in Missouri and you'd be closer to me than some people live in Texas. But
yeah,
if you are somehow close to Orange, Texas, and you'd like to see me tomorrow in the flesh, you're welcome to come to Texas. I'll be speaking at 9, 10:30, and then in the evening. And boy, oh boy, if you drive a long distance, you can spend the whole day with me. I will make sure we'll have enough time together. So, Christy, tell our audience where I'll be speaking tomorrow, Lord's willing.
Okay, you will be speaking at Grace Point Church at Eagle Heights. That's Orange, Texas.
So, look it up online at Grace Point Eagle Heights in Orange, and you will find it. It's a big church, and it is almost on Highway 10, so you cannot miss it.
Yeah.
So,
and also, if you're in Louisiana, Orange, Texas is very close to Louisiana as well.
Absolutely. Now, there's some news I just found out about yesterday, Christy, and I shared with you. I don't know if you have any update about the problem we have in the country of Yemen. That's how sadly some people attacked our embassy there, and I believe we have some hostage. Obviously, any news about the weakness of America and the strength of Islam will not be on in the media in America. We can talk about it. Maybe you find out about it 3-4 weeks from now when some people got killed or somebody really, really gets hurt. That's maybe when the media will give you a little bit of information. Any specific information about this case, Christy, or that's all what we have so far?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot more. However, as I was watching the coverage about this, they were emphasizing that there weren't Americans at the American embassy. I thought this was very strange. But employees of the American embassy who were working there, and they do have hostages, but I mean, you know, I'm sorry, our president left a bunch of Americans in Afghanistan, which I have an update on. So I'm wondering, are they going to do anything in response to this attack against Americans?
I know what Mr. Biden will do. It's very simple. He will fix that problem by closing another pipeline from Canada to the United States, I believe Michigan. So This is that's what he's going to do to make sure that we're doing okay in America. Which means I bought some gas last week, literally $3.47. And I could not believe I'm putting $3.47 a gallon. But with the help of old Biden and his team closing this another pipeline, we maybe go to $5.50 a gallon. That is in the middle of the state. If you are in California or New York, where I'll be coming up soon, I'm going to be there, Lord's willing. I don't know, maybe paying $7, $8, who knows? But Biden is doing a great job to make America poor again.
It's unbelievable how he talks about how great the economy is doing. This is what is so funny. There are so many cartoons and memes out there where he's talking about how everything is getting better. And people we have a friend, you know, and Jennifer, she's going, who is he talking to? Who is he talking to?
Is he talking about Taliban or is he talking
about... Yeah, I mean, they're thinking it's...
confusing names, you know. And so people Al-Qaeda is doing great or the ISIS is doing great, and they give him a new name now, ISIS X or ISIS B. And Taliban is doing great. He just made a mistake. Say America is doing great. I don't know
what he's smoking,
what he's drinking, but... I'm sorry, Christy. I don't think the Democrat of America is that stupid. I always say stupid Democrat. But with this condition we're in right now, there's no way you can tell me that there are people in America who are as stupid to believe his lies. Even Democrats are not that stupid. They're stupid, yes. Okay? But they're not that level of stupid to believe that we're doing great and economy doing wonderful.
I have a thought. You know, I think that when Biden is getting ready to take his nap time, they're showing him video from when Trump was president and everything was so good. I think he, you know, wakes up and thinks, oh, yeah, this is awesome. Everything's awesome.
Christy,
I'm
sorry. Like a joke. Literally, everything that man and his team touched, they have broke or they have damaged. I mean, there's trouble everywhere. Where we're less safe, economically, we're destroying our country. They may think if they spend another $3-4 trillion, this will make America look good. But in reality, every time these people spend a dime and make another dime in our pocket, worth nickel. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
So
mm-hmm.
They're destroying the country by what they're doing. And they think if they do the same thing over and over again, somehow we're going to get some great different result, which is a very sign of insanity. These people are insane. Biden and Kamala and the entire team, Obama team, who are working for Mr. Biden right now, the whole entire team are insane. Or they know exactly what they're doing and they're accomplishing what they're hoped to accomplish, which is the destruction of America.
That's what I think. I mean, literally, I think they know exactly what they're doing. And the goal is to not make America great. You know, if Biden was going to have a rallying cry, you know, Trump, it was make America great again. He would say mm-hmm. make America mm-hmm. poor again, make America weak again, you know,
yeah.
Or for the first time. I don't think we've ever been in this bad of a situation.
It is very sad. It's
yeah.
Very sad.
But we can trust the Lord. And I really want to encourage people, keep praying, because there are a lot of people out there. This situation has maybe waked them up for the first time. You
yeah.
know, a lot of people have thought, oh, it doesn't really matter who you elect as president. It makes no difference to me. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize it makes a lot of difference and you need to
yeah.
pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I see Adam show up. Hello, Brother Adam. I'd love to hear your voice, man. See, how are you doing? Adam, where are you?
I am doing very well, brother. Praise be to our Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know what, Adam? I like you a lot, but I don't like you as much as I like Christy. Christy, come number one. You're just number two. You understand
that? And that's
Christy,
why I dropped myself down and I put Christy up there.
I didn't even mean it. You did it. I didn't do it. I didn't even know how to do that. You're so smart with this stuff. I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, how is Adam doing this week?
I'm doing very well, praise be to the Lord, and I have a praise report to tell everyone. Today, one more Muslim left Islam, praise be to the Lord, and
praise
he is now studying the Bible. I gave him the Gospel of Luke and Gospel of Matthew to read, and he used to come up to my channel and a couple of other channels that I go and speak to. Very, very angry young man who moved to very, very nice and calm talking, and last Friday, I gave him a chance to speak, and I said, like, okay, now you have all these things that I told you. Do you have more questions? He said, yes. I was like, come Saturday again. I'll give you as much time as you want. But you have to promise that you will be truthful. And if you, by your heart and mind, see that this is not right, you'll leave it. And he said, I promise. You'll give me time more? I was like, yes. 6 hours. 4 hours, 48 minutes. Bye-bye. Thank you. Praise Lord.
Praise God.
That's awesome, Adam. That is wonderful.
That is good. You know what, Adam? There will be many people who leave Islam and come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, and we will never know.
Amen. Yes, brother.
As long as these videos are available, and you know what? Sometimes the devil is so smart. He'll come to us and give us this discouragement, like you're wasting your time spending all these hours online, and nothing is happening. This was literally a great attack on me. I mean, a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, because that was before COVID-19, so that's 3 years ago. And that man hated my guts. He, by accident, was listening to my radio broadcast, which we do on VCY for almost like 9 years now, every day, 5 days a week, live program from 12:30 to 1 o'clock, 12:30 to 1 o'clock. It's recorded, but they play it there every day of the week. And that man, by accident, came in and he was so angry, he actually contacted 50 or so of his people and said, we need to shut this channel down. We need to stop this guy from speaking against Allah and Muhammad. He insulted Allah. He insulted Muhammad. He insulted Islam. He got a big group around him. Well, then he decided to, they actually saw many people communicate with the station and say, that man is teaching lie. You need to remove him from air. And praise God, the men behind this channel, BCY America. By the way, you can download the app and listen to me every day, 12:30, 1 o'clock. They said, no, we're not going to take Brother Osama off air. We believe everything he's saying is true. We're not going to take him off. Anyway, so he decided to get a paper and pencil, Adam. He's going to write all my mistakes. He's going to show that I'm lying. And he can speak Arabic. He's from Africa and he speaks Arabic real well. So he starts taking notes of all the verses and he go read the Quran. Whoa, this is exactly what I said. And then he read the interpretation of whatever. He was checking me out verse by verse, interpretation by interpretation, statement by Muhammad, by statement of Muhammad. Well, but guess what? He became a Christian.
So all Amen. Christian. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So when he became a Christian, his mom and some of a member of his family became a Christian. When his mama was about to die, she said, I want to see a minister. So they got her a Muslim imam. She said, no, I want to see a Christian minister. Well, his mama died as a believer in Christ, and now he's cut my article. I do an article on a newspaper in Wisconsin. The Christian newspaper is called Christian News. I can't remember now the name of it. Man, anyway, I've been writing with this newspaper for almost maybe 5-6 years. So he cut the article and he made copies of it and he sent it to his friends whom he wanted earlier to shut me down. So he's now ministering to others. So who knows?
Amen.
Who knows? That young man, when you lead to the Lord, he may be doing much better job than you and I can ever do.
Absolutely, brother. And I want that. I want that. Last time, you know, there was a fast guy. Last Tuesday, he left Islam finally. And I have been ministering to him for over 2 months. And because he was a young guy, he's in his early 20s. Or late 19 or something like that, very young guy. So his blood was very boiling, you know. So he used to come up and abuse and call me all the kind of names and et cetera, to begin with. But he was listening. But he was listening. So 1.5 months later, on last Tuesday, he left Islam. Praise be to our Lord Jesus. And now he said, if there is no God, there should be a God. I was like, yes, there is a God. And I told you, I'm a Christian. There is a God. So let's look in the Bible who that God is.
Yeah.
What about the Hindu God? I said, go read those books as well. Read those books and then you will come to realization who is the true God. I said, don't read them. I would like you to read them as well.
Absolutely.
Because unless you read all, you will not know what is the truth and what is the lie.
Sure.
And the truth is in our Lord Jesus Christ, and you will realize that.
Amen.
So, it's that's the beauty.
Very good advice, because sometimes people think, well, if they're living Islam, they don't need to read the Quran anymore. I said, no. I want them to dig deep in the Quran to discover for depths, for sure, that Islam cannot be the truth. Neither Allah is God, nor Muhammad is a prophet. And the best way to know that is dig into what he used to believe without even knowing. Most Muslims, like yourself, when you used to be a Muslim, you do not know so much about Allah or Muhammad. The reason they're Muslims is because they don't know Islam. When they get to know Islam, the more they know about Islam, for sure, they will say goodbye to Allah and Muhammad and Islam. Am I right, Ali?
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. If you read the Quran with a true heart, a seeker heart, it is not possible that you will not leave Islam. And by the way, brother, you were saying that people want to shut your channel and shut down your broadcast. Brother, that's nothing. People want to kill me every day. They send me death threats every day. And in Pakistan, there is a group who is paying money to figure out who I am in reality. So they are literally paying money on my head, man, in Pakistan. So, brother,
God is good.
God is good.
Done that when the time right to come to go, we're going to go.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Because we know where we are going. They do not. Even Muhammad did not know what was going to happen to him. But our Lord said where we will be.
Yeah. I know much better than Muhammad about that. I know.
Amen.
I know that my Redeemer lived, and I know someday he will set me free even from my flesh. Christy, I know you have some new news about what's going on in Afghanistan. If you can fill us in, share with us before we... And whatever you want to talk about, you're the producer. Let you do whatever you have in mind.
Okay. Well, one article that came out concerning the families in Afghanistan, a lot of people have been caught up in the legal battle about vaccine mandates, and rightly so. People should be very worried about that. We have seen some horrific reports of the things that have happened, and fortunately the mandates are stopped. But there is a idea that the whole idea of putting these mandates out and causing all this chaos was to distract from what was happening in Afghanistan when we left all these Americans there. So the article from CBN News, which is Christian news channel, is that American families still stuck in Afghanistan. After 2 months, the Pentagon is finally taking action. So I'm looking at the article. I can only tell you what they're saying. So they're saying the Defense Department, this is their quote, places a high priority on facilitating the departure of Afghan nationals. Now, that's not talking about American families, but it says who are the immediate family members of U.S. civilian or military personnel. Then it says that the article states it's not clear how the government plans to facilitate family members' departures, but President Biden directed the military to cease evacuations from Afghanistan on August 30th. Think about that, 2 months ago. So they're saying now that if you want to leave, you need to get in contact with the Office of Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. Okay, how are they supposed to do that? You know,
it's
ridiculous. They're just trying to cover up the disaster.
I think I can figure it out. They need to find a member of Taliban and tell them who they are and where they live, and the Taliban will communicate with this minister whom they're supposed to communicate with. Because Taliban is our friends and our allies. And by the way, Christy, I guarantee you right now, we're rolling the billions of dollars to the member of Taliban as we continue to support Afghanistan. See, there's already a contract with Afghanistan. We're supposed to send money to the military of Afghanistan and to the government of Afghanistan. And since the Taliban is in control of Afghanistan, they will be receiving these billions of dollars. Trust me. Trust me. We're right now giving billions of dollars to the members of Taliban in Afghanistan who are controlling the country. I bet my life, Christy. I bet my life. That's why we have not seen dead bodies of Americans yet. You make a bet on that?
Well, I imagine so, because we're going to have an excuse to do just like Barack Obama did when he gave all that money to Iran. There'll be an excuse, just like the excuse of releasing the prisoners from Gitmo in order to facilitate the release of the guy, the kid who left and ran off, and the American soldiers getting killed going to Bo Bergdahl. We know his daddy was a Muslim. We sure. were talking about that years ago. We're going, why is this kid run off to the Muslims people there? Because his daddy's Muslim. But yet, now that we know and we have our suspicions about how some of our okay. government officials work, we know that was probably all planned. But
Adam Secret said he would bet me $1,000.
Who's betting you $1,000? What?
Adam, he said, I bet you
$1,000. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I believe it was all
it's
planned.
On you, not against you, FYI.
No. I know it's you agree with me, man.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Yeah. One more story quickly. Sure. Just Uganda, Islamists. They have to use this word now. I don't know. We've said that was an invented word. It doesn't exist. Really? It's Muslims. But the story in Uganda, Muslims decapitate Christian who led Muslims to Jesus and leave his head in a swamp. Isn't that lovely? Yeah.
Well, you know what, Christy? If you know, this is the action of the noble example, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to cut people's heads. And from the days of Muhammad until today, Muslims continue to cut people's heads. They are established and they are practicing the teaching of Allah in the Quran, Quran 47:4, and many other verses, Quran 8:60. There are plenty of verses in the Quran where Allah said, behead, behead. Behead is to separate the head from the body. So that is what Muslims believe and that's what Muslims practice. And Allahu Akbar, takbir, Adam, takbir.
This is crazy.
Al-Masihu Akbar, not Allahu Akbar. Takbir Al-Masihu Akbar.
Al-Masihu Azim, that's even better.
Troy.
Greater. Amen.
Christ Amen. Akbar Al-Azim.
Well,
how is the Akbar Al-Azim? Go ahead.
I know you guys, I appreciate you clarifying. Yeah. But I do want to say hi to our friend Paul. You know, he helps us out with the radio station and Paul.
Let me mention his name, Christy. We need to get Father Paul, Lord is willing, after we finish our study, Women in Islam, maybe, I don't know, today or next week. I need to get Father Paul. I hope you're reading his book, which I sent to you, because I want to have an interview in the future night here coming up. After we finish Women in Islam, I'd love to talk about his book. It's a very unique book, and I just looked it up. I did not read it yet. Lord.
I'm supposed to be reading it. When did you send it to me?
I sent it to you 2 weeks ago. What is wrong with you, Christy Johnson? Hey, if you don't have it, I'll send it again.
How did you send it? That would help me. What am I looking for?
I sent an e-book. It's his e-book.
It's an e-book? Okay.
Yes.
Well, Paul, I will be checking your book out. Thanks for...
So can share with us about his book. He's a very, very good writer and a lot.
Yeah, he's written a lot of books.
Yes.
He's almost as much of a writer as you. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, he's greater than me. At least he's an English teacher for everything.
I know. He can speak English.
I don't speak English. I speak gibberish. I make up so many words. That is good. Anyway, so anything else you want to talk about, Christy, before we
move? I know you've got a lot to share.
About the COVID injection.
Yeah, I do want to say, and Paul was mentioning this, that he has a lot of information that he's talking about. We watched a video, Usama, that was so disturbing. I mean, you watch it and it makes you want to cry. But also, there are now people who are coming out and sharing their stories if they've lived from the side effects of COVID. You talked about a woman last week who was shaking so bad. There's video of several adult women that they've shared about this condition they've developed. But also our friend Paul was talking about the VAERS website, which is where they have to report adverse effects from injections. And he states, and I'm sure he's right because I've been keeping up on this, 8,000 severe adverse reactions. You can add two zeros, he says. That's according to the CDC, 800,000. And the video we watched, young people, athletes, dropping dead in the middle of fields with hundreds, perhaps thousands of people watching it. So it's coming on their local news, and they brought together stories. There's been over 75. These are young, healthy athletes who just are dropping dead, having heart attacks on the field.
Do we have this video to see it tonight, Christy, or no?
I sent it to Adam. I don't think we have it tonight. It has to be probably converted into another format. I was trying to work on that, but as you know, I've had a little bit of problem with my computer, so I don't have that done yet.
Adam is a smart computer guy.
He is a smart guy.
He can fix it, and we can watch. Do you hear me, Adam?
He left. He's going to look for it. No.
Adam,
sorry,
Adam,
Adam,
where are you? Anyway, God is good. It's a sad video. By the way,
it's tragic.
I don't have the video, guys. Send me again. I will show it later.
I sent it on a Messenger to you, Adam, because it's a Messenger video, and they're so hard to send in any other way. So if you didn't get it, I'll send it again.
Well, it's a set.
Yeah.
We're talking about healthy sportsmen who are dropping dead in games. And if this was something else not related to the vaccine shot, trust me, it will be all over the news. You'll be watching CNN 10 times a day and Fox News 20 times a day, but they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to tell you that this vaccine causes more harm than good. And God is my witness, and I say this and I believe it 100% in my heart, that 2 years from now, they will regret that they ever made the shot, period, because the side effect of it and the future damage to humans, it will be in the, not thousands, but in the millions. Just wait and see how bad it's going to be. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, pray for our kids because they're trying to target children now. And many doctors who risk losing their medical license are coming out and saying, this is horrible. We cannot do this to children. So be praying, because I'm thankful that it has been stopped right now. A court has stopped these mandates. But pray that people will realize, this is too dangerous.
Mm-hmm. I see Adam's off. Are you going to stay and sing, Adam?
No, brother, I'm still waiting. I don't know, Christy, which messenger she's talking about.
Oh,
I do not have any messenger.
Facebook.
Please send me.
Facebook Messenger.
Sister Christy, I'm dead in Facebook. Some Muslim people joined together and they sent a death certificate of mine to Facebook.
Okay, well,
I was killed in Facebook.
Okay, well, I will tell you that I don't have another way that I can send it until I can convert it, because
I tell you what, Adam, I'll bring it to you. We'll do it some other time. That's fine. No problem.
Thank you.
Let's take a quick break here about these two booklets, the green and the red. And after that, I will start the program, Women in Islam, if you guys do not mind. And then, Lord willing, hey, Adam, you can stop me anywhere in the middle and you can hit another commercial if you don't mind. Just say, chill up. You sound like chill up. Take a chill bill. You know what chill bill is? You can stop me anytime you wish. And then you can play another commercial in the middle of our talk. That's okay?
Chill out.
Yes, sir.
Chill out.
Right. So here we go. A quick commercial. We'll be back.
Hey, The Straightway of Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straightway to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information. And now, back to our show.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Once again, if you know how to share this channel with your friends, invite other friends to join us. That'll be awesome. Look forward to have more new people to join us, as well as even later, just as Brother Adam always say, like us, ring the bell, whatever you do to make this channel even bigger and bigger, to reach out to more people. That will be awesome. Look forward to continue to do ministering with you, for you, by you, to others that may the truth be told, especially when we talk about the subject of Islam. Well, Christy, are you ready to do women in Islam?
Of course.
Okay, so here I'll go. I'm going to share the screen with you guys, Lord is willing, and we will continue from where we stopped in our last program. By the way, if you have not seen the previous program, this is program number 3 to cover women in Islam. You are quite welcome to go back and watch it. They're available 1, 2, and this is 3 of Revealing the Truth About Women in Islam. And also, if you do not want to do that, you want to get that DVD. The DVD is available on our website, thestraightway.org. It's thestraightway.org. And feel free to get it and share it with others as well. All right. Here we go. Christy, you're welcome to stop me anytime if you want to say a comment. I cannot see neither you or Adam. So if you guys want to talk, just jump in and talk, because I only have one screen. What I see now is a PowerPoint. Let's talk about, this is the last thing we talked about last week. We're going to pick up from here and we'll go on. Lord's willing.
Abdullah ibn al-Khamis says, Abu Dhar said, the messenger of Allah said, when one of you stands in prayer, what definitely constitutes a barrier for him is an object placed in front of him of the same height as the back of a camel's saddle. If it is not in front of him and of the same height as the back of a camel's saddle, then some stray donkey or some woman passing or some black dog will cut off his prayer. I said, O Abu Dhar, what is it that makes a black dog different from a red or yellow dog? He replied, O dear cousin. I asked the messenger of Allah that exact same question. He said that the black dog is a devil.
Any problems with the sound?
Well, I turned my speaker up, so I think they're hearing it on the radio. Let me check with our friend Paul and Ted.
Just let me know. I maybe put outside speaker here to make it a little bit louder. If that's what you want me to do, I can easily add outside speaker here to make the voice from the laptop even higher, if you need me to do that. All right. So that is where we stop, and that is Sahih Muslim, and that is Sahih Bukhari. These are two top Muslim authoritative great scholars, and they only wrote to us less than 2% of the saying of Muhammad, which Muslims claim these words we're reading here right now is 100% true. We know for sure Muhammad said that. I love what Aisha said. She said, "Shabbathuna bil kilabi wal hamir." You describe us, or you make us look like the donkeys and the dogs. Yes, indeed. That's exactly what is women position Islam. Women equal to donkey and black dog. And as you see here, why black dog? It's very simple, because they are demon-possessed. Black dog, demon-possessed, equal to women. They are unclean, like donkey, cut man prayer. Just for a woman to walk in front of men in a mosque or in a place of prayer, and there's no barrier within the height of a camel's saddle, which actually, that means you cannot see the woman. If you can see the woman walk in front of you, kiss your prayer goodbye. So I wonder, Adam, tell me, Adam, if a woman walk in front of men and cut men's prayer, how in the world woman pray?
That's a good question.
Good question.
Come on, man. I'm not asking you to laugh. I want a sincere, hard answer. If a woman, if a man touch a woman, we found out last program, if a man touch a woman, he's unclean. No water, rub your hand and face with good dirt. So women are dirtier than dirt. Now here is this hadith, strong hadith, right? Muslim, Sahih Bukhari. We know for sure that women will cut man's prayer. If for a woman to walk in front of me, just to walk in front of me when I pray, Allah, Akbar, oh, shit. Okay, this is my prayer with mine. How in the world women are clean enough to pray that may Allah hear their prayers? How can this happen?
Brother, if you ask me this as a serious question as a Muslim, I would reply to you that according to Kaseer al-Muhaddisin Islam and Kaseer Ulama'i Akram, it is when the woman is passing in front of you when she is during her menstruation cycle.
Oh.
So they change it to this
way. Wait a minute. How do you know? The hadith did not say if she has. Wait a minute. Even if she is in the period time, what does this have to do with my prayer? I'm praying to Allah, man. I wash. I'm clean. I'm ready to pray. Allahu Akbar. My prayer's not off. That's not funny. I can sue Allah and say, why you cut my prayer off? I'm doing everything right. She's walking in front of me. Clean or unclean. What difference does it make?
That you need to ask Allah, brother.
Well,
do you want me to call Allah right now?
No, I don't want you to talk to Allah. Wait until we finish the program, because Allah, the devil, will cut our show off. If you call on Allah right now, ask him, for sure this computer will burn off and you'll not see me again until I get you. But don't forget about it. I don't want Allah right now. Forget about it. Okay, Christy, you have any question, Christy?
Oh, no. I think the whole thing about women in Islam is pretty much they're all going to hell, according to the Quran. So what can you do?
In the end of our study. Yes, ma'am. All right. Here's Dr. Rakia Maksud wearing the British hijab. And here is another Muslim lady below her wearing the middle class hijab. But neither of these hijab are the Islamic hijab. Let me be clear here. Dr. Rakia is not wearing Islamic hijab. The lady behind her is not wearing Islamic hijab. You know why? So that's the reality. Women can talk, guys, with their eyes. Women can talk with their eyes. So, I'm going to prove to you, as I create this hijab covering myself, that I can talk with my eyes. Imagine with me, Adam, that I am a woman, okay? And here is my hijab, okay? Watch my eyes, Adam. Are you watching me? Hey, baby. Hey.
Mashallah, mashallah, they look so pretty and your eyes look so sexy.
I said, hey, baby, that's all. Just for a woman to close her eyes a couple of times like this, that's a talk. Muslim men know what it is. Or,
yes.
As Allah says in the Quran, just for a woman, if she's full hijab, like we're going to see in a minute here, and she stab her foot, you know, stab her foot,
mm-hmm.
And you have this two pieces of metal, silver, gold, aluminum, and you make noise with them. That is talk. That's woman talk. That's why Allah the Quran says, you don't stab your foot. When you shake your foot on the ground, the two pieces are going to touch each other. It's like, look at me, babe. I'm available. Okay? That's exactly why Allah the Quran says, women cannot talk only by their eyes. They can talk by their foot. In reality, I'm going to share with you the true hijab in a minute here, so don't take me wrong. First, Let us listen to Dr. Ruqayyah Abdul Maqsood and what she said about the veiling of Islam.
Certainly the Quran requires them to behave and dress modestly, but these strictures apply equally to men. Only one verse refers to the veiling of women, stating that the prophet's wife should be behind the hijab with male guests first with them.
You know, that's right. I'm literally, as I said just last week on the program, I wish I can pull my hair off, but as you see, I don't have any hair, so I cannot pull my hair off. These people are professional deceiver, professional liar. They're destroying Allah, who's supposed to be the best deceiver. They're more deceiver than Allah. Look at this. But these strictures apply equal to men. Excuse me. Have you ever seen a man in hijab in any Muslim country, Adam? Have you ever seen a man in hijab like these two ladies here?
Brother, let me answer that from the Quranic verse, if you allow me, sir. It says in Quran chapter number 33, verse number 59. It starts with Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, Qul lil azwaj wa binatika wa nisa'i, to your wives and your daughters. And then it says, wa nisa'i al mu'mineen.
You got this. And
the woman of the mu'mineen, of the Muslims.
Yeah, but Adam, you missed the first point. My first point is, men like women. But these strictures apply equally to men. You got the second half. You're right. We're going to get to it in a minute here. But have you ever seen a Muslim man dressed in a hijab?
A Muslim man can walk shirtless in the street with just the belly button to the knee covered, full stop. That's what the hijab of a Muslim man is. Who the hell says otherwise? Any Muslim scholar in the entire world, can if they can denounce me on this sentence, man, I'm standing here.
All right. So, you got it right. Only between the belly and the knee, that is only part, but men can be naked also. Okay, but, so obviously she's lying or she's stupid. I don't know, but I know she was married to this Muslim guy from Pakistan, but no man in Pakistan wear a hijab, okay? Trust me. Only suicidal, or those who have a bomb, suicide bomb, they cover their face because they don't want to be stopped from performing as a suicide bombing, and you mean things that are ladies, whatever. Or, as we can see in some cases, there are actually some women, some men who dress in a full hijab to do the beheading to the American ladies, as we've seen this in Dubai Airport, in Dubai Mall, and I have the video shared with you a little bit. But the idea that men and women are hijab, that's a lie. Now, the second half, which you mentioned, Adam, and by the way, we got the verses to play as well. Where the prophet's wives, how about the women of the believers? If you read what we have right now in front of us on the screen here, she said, referring to the veiling of women, stating that the prophet's wife should be behind hijab. How about Muslim wives, Muslim daughters, Muslim women who are not Muhammad's wives? So should be they also in hijab or no? In her own words here? No.
No.
Show me. Where?
In his word, no. In her words, sorry. In her words, no. She's a liar, brother. And you know, Islamic lie teaches the women and men to lie. And any lie which is for the glorification of Allah and Muhammad is not called a lie.
Amen. The biggest lie I ever heard, my dear friend Adam and everybody, is when I heard Dr. Sahar teaching on the subject. And she said, she's married to a Muslim man. She's the daughter of a Muslim Kuwaiti daddy and American mama. And she wears the hijab similar to Dr. Ruqayyah, the one in the top here. And she said, my husband asked me so many times, honey, please take the hijab off. You are beautiful. You have beautiful hair. You have beautiful face. I'm proud of you. You don't have to wear the hijab. And she said, no. I'm doing that not to please you. I'm doing that not to please my daddy, the Muslim man. I'm doing that to please Allah. I want to do it. Nobody, she's talking to the whole class of students in New Orleans University. Nobody ever forced me or any Muslim woman to wear the hijab. We wear it because we choose to live in obedience to Allah. We're doing this to please Allah. I'm doing it with my 100% free will. And I said, yeah. Free my foot. No such a thing as free will in Islam, period.
Absolutely, brother. I can vouch for that. There is nothing called free will in Islam. It's all about what Allah and Muhammad actually taught you, and you have to take it without questioning.
Yeah. So she said there's only one verse. Well, I got more than one verse. Here's the verse she's talking about, Quran chapter 24, verse 31. And that's, by the way, one of the verses which every Muslim are ordered by Muhammad to memorize. Recite Surah An-Nur. Do not teach your children, your females, how to write, but teach them to spin and recite Surah An-Nur. It is one of these verses which every Muslim woman ought to memorize. Here is the word of Allah.
Restrain their eyes and to guard their private parts and do not display their ornaments except that which appears from it, and that they throw their veils over their bosoms and do not display their ornaments.
All right. Now here's the question. Are Allah here talking to Muhammad's wives or Muslim believing women?
Muslim believing women.
You mean these are not Muhammad's? It was Muhammad married to every woman? The thousands of women Muhammad is, he was married to all of them?
No. Even though he wanted to.
But throw their veil over their bosom. Over their bosom. How you throw the veil over their bosom? From here down or from here down?
That's what is said in 33:59. You gotta go there. Yudnaina alayhinna min jilabihinna.
Habibi, my beloved, it is coming. Trust me. I love you, man. Here we go. All right. So this is the true hijab. Ladies and gentlemen, this is hogwash hijab. The one at the top and the one at the bottom. This is the real hijab.
Absolutely.
He's old. I don't even know if it's a he or a she. Can you tell me?
No.
I know you can. Here is Quran 33:59. By the way, because Judge Jeanine read that verse, she didn't even go to the interpretation as we're going to do tonight. She just simply read that verse, Judge Jeanine, on her Sunday show, and she was fired for 2 weeks from Fox News. That's how wicked and how coward and how evil Fox News. For the first time in 20 years, I hear for the first time, somebody had the guts to read a verse from the Quran. If you think Fox News is a conservative, you're stupid. Let me say it again. If you believe Fox is a conservative station, you are stupid. You know why? Because Fox News in the last 20 years did not read but one verse of the Quran by Judge Jeanine, and she was fired for 2 weeks just for reading the verse.
That's right.
In the near future, when I would do with you the presentation, the Sharia, which this one is taken from, you look at the bottom corner here, revealing the truth about Sharia. That's not women in Islam. I just picked up from Sharia. Okay, but I'm going to go in depth. I will play for you the video of Judge Jeanine, and I'll tell you exactly what she said. She didn't say anything wrong. She was talking about Ilhan Omar, criminal Ilhan Omar, the good Democrat congresswoman from the 5th District of Minnesota. She should spend 18 years in prison, and she's serving her second term. And trust me, she would not set a foot in jail. Most likely me, Christy, and Adam, and whoever will join us in the ministry in the near future. Most likely all of us will be in prison before Ilhan Omar would touch the door of the prison or walk near the prison. That woman is so evil, and God is our witness. As long as we have women like her or Linda Sarsour or what's her name, from Palestine.
Rashida Tlaib.
As long as we have these people in our government, you can kiss your freedom goodbye. They will shut freedom completely goodbye. That's why they're there in the Congress, as we're going to be more Muslim senators and Muslim mayors and Muslim state attorneys like Keith Ellison and many, many. There are plenty of Muslims coming to power. But here's what Dr. Jeanine said.
Okay, the verse did not play for some reason. One more time. O you prophets, say to your wives and to your daughters and to the women of the believers, let down their covering over them, that in this way they will be known. When you see a lady fall two dress, one from the shoulder down
and one from the head down. I'm going to prove it to you from Muslim scholars and interpretation. When you see that, you will know that this is a Muslim believer. In that way, they will be known so they will not be harmed. So they will not be harmed. In Yusuf Ali, Judge Niavet, so they will not be molested. How about, I will give you a better word, so they will not be raped. By who? Wait, calm down, I'm going to tell you. And Allah was forgiving, merciful. You know why Muslims in Europe, and I never said that before, here it is, hear me carefully, why Muslims in Europe are mad at the French government, and mad at the Swiss government, and mad at the German government, and all these different countries who will not allow Muslim women to wear full hijab, like this picture here, see that picture here, to be like that? Why they're mad? Because they don't want Muslim women to dress like that. It's not because the Muslims in Europe are afraid that some British guys or some Swedish guy or some German guy will rape their daughters or their wives. Trust me. If the Muslim females in Europe walk in bikini, or let me say it again, if they walk naked, a British man, a French man, a German man will not bother to look at to desire sexually. Why? They're not that attractive. They're not that beautiful. If a French guy want to really have good time, he go to some new beaches and all the beautiful French ladies who are in their 20s and 30s in bikini all over the beach. Trust me. Okay? I know what I'm talking about. They're not going to look at some Muslim ladies from overseas, from Saudi Arabia or from Egypt or from any Muslim country naked, because they're not going to be that attractive, that beautiful. But the reason that the Muslims in Europe mad at the government of Europe for not allowing the women to be covered hijab, because they know that these women will be raped like the rest of the Muslim, of the foreign women who are the Muslim are raping. But they're not going to be raped by the foreigners, the infidels. They're going to be raped by the Muslims themselves. I hope you guys understand me. Let's make it for example. If you go to England, the British government does not want women to dress like that. Not because they want to persecute the Muslims for safety. And we can talk about safety for hours. In fact, if I show you the beheading, the stabbing of knife in the bathroom in Dubai Airport, in Dubai Mall, you know what I'm talking about, okay? But the Muslims do not want the British to stop that hijab because they know if they will force the Muslim ladies in England to dress modestly and show their faces red, most likely they're going to be raped by the Muslim men of England, not the British. The British is not going to mess with the... Let me prove it this way. How many British men in England raped a Muslim woman? You don't have to think about it. Zero, okay? Trust me, zero. How many British women raped by a Muslim man? The statistic says 1 out of 5. That's 20% of British women are raped by Muslim men. And if you allow the Muslim women to walk in the street without covering her face and look like that, most likely some Muslim men will be raping them too.
I think I
clear my point very well. Go ahead, Chris.
I just want to say, you're not saying 20% of the women who are raped by Muslim men. You're saying 20% of all the women in Britain have been raped by Muslims.
Coming up. Here is the interpretation of Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas said, Allah ordered the women of the believers, if they go out of their home for some need, it's very simple, they go out of their homes to go potty, okay, to go use the bathroom, okay? That is the only need, according to Islam, Quran 33, stay at your houses. That verse was given to the Muslim believer to stay in their house. Muhammad in the Hadith, you don't even move from a couple rooms in the house. Stay in one room, in one corner. So if a woman leaves the house, most likely she's going to go out to go potty, okay? You don't have outdoor bathroom. You go in the woods and use the bathroom for some need. That they must cover their face from above their head with dress by showing one eye. Wow. Showing one eye. So she's going to put a dress, shoulder down, another dress from head down, and they show one eye. Are you wondering now which eye? This is what Ibn Abbas said. Ibn Abbas is Muhammad's first cousin. 100% he saw the truth. May Allah be pleased with him, okay? Allah be pleased with him. Which eye? I mean, I know people have two eyes. There's a right eye, left eye. Don't worry. I got the answer. Relax. Let's go to Muhammad ibn Sirin, who asked Ubaydah Soleimani about Allah's word when Allah said what? Let down their covering over them. What Allah mean by that? I mean, Muhammad ibn Sirin, he wanted to practice Islam right. He wanted to take Islam to his wife, to his daughters, to his sisters, and make sure they practice right. So he asked Ubaydah Soleimani, what does Allah mean by that? Look at this. So he, that is Ubaydah Soleimani, covers his head and show his left eye. So he got the dress and cover all his head and he show only his left eye. Like that. A hole in front of his eye. So now we know, ladies, Muslim ladies, if you're going to wear the hijab, the Islamic hijab, according to Muslim scholars, you don't wear the first picture of Dr. Rakia Abdul Maksud. We show all her face because, trust me, she can talk with both eyes and lips. You know? Or the other lady will show her eyes because, once again, she can talk with her eyes. You know? Here we go. Just squeeze. That's the talk. The best hijab is full hijab, small hole in front of the left eye. Not big hole, small hole. So she can see where she's going. She won't hit a door or hit a wall. Okay? Make sense. Now, let's go a little bit deeper in the next one here. Why did Allah even do this rule? Or actually, it was Omar's advice to Muhammad. Listen to this. In Asadi interpretation for this verse, Quran chapter 33, verse 59, okay? He said, some of the wicked people of the city of Medina. What wicked people? That good Jew. No, there was no Jewish in the city. Good Christian. No, there were no good Christians in the city. They're all gone. When the city changed its name from Yathrib to Medina, it's a holy city, and infidels could not walk in. A Christian, a Jew, an atheist, either worshiper, could not be there. It's only good Muslims. But somehow, some of the people of the city, some of the good Muslims, were wicked. Okay? Now, the city of Medina came out when it gets dark. Now, some of the wicked people of the city of Medina come out at night when it gets dark in the roads and they harass the females. Which females? The Muslim females, okay? They harass the females. The roads of the city of Medina were narrow. It's not like big roads, maybe 4 feet, 5 feet. So when women walk in, they're going to go party outside and go come back. What do you do here? Now, the road was narrow. So when the night comes, women go out to the road, out on the road, so that they may go and release themselves. They're going to go party, okay? So these wicked people molest them. Oh, molest them. Rape them. That's when Judge Jeanine said, they will not be harmed. Yusuf Ali, they will not be molested, okay? So they continue with the song. So if they saw the woman have a head covering, they said, she's a free woman. A lady in a hijab, full hijab, oh, don't touch her, man. She's a free woman. She's a Muslim believer. We cannot touch her. So they left her alone. And if they saw that she was not wearing the head covering, they said, she's a slave. Slave is a fair game. We can talk about slavery in the future. In another study, remind me, Christy, remind me, Adam, to do slavery in Islam. I will show you that in Islam, the word of Allah, the Quran, any man can hold any Muslim slave and rape her in the middle of the day. You can actually hire your slave as a prostitute. No problem. Allah says, don't do it. But if you do it, Allah forgive and merciful. No problem. So they sexually assault her. Assault who? The slave. Because Allah said, it's okay. Your right hand possesses. You do whatever you want. Even if they're married. Yeah, even if they're married. We'll see that in Quran 424. Now, if you think women always love to be assaulted, women love to be harassed, women love to be raped, especially the slaves. No. slave woman do not want to be assaulted or harassed or raped or molested by these good Muslim men. So what did some slaves did? They covered themselves with hijab. Because you don't know who is she. I mean, look at the picture, guys. It looked like a stack of potatoes. There's no way you figure out who is he or she under the hijab. So every woman going out now to go party, they wear the hijab. Well, there's no customer. I mean, these Muslim men need to have good time. They need to, you know, they need to release themselves. And now all the women in hijab. So Omar take care of that. Omar, Khalifa Omar, take care of that. You know how Omar take care of it? Here we go. It was that Omar, Allah is pleased with him. Allah is pleased with a piece of garbage. Yes. Because Allah was pleased with Muhammad too, who's a rapist. Muhammad the rapist, Allah was pleased with him. Why not Allah be pleased with Omar? Look what he said. If he saw a slave covered in hijab, that he beat her to protect the custom of the free woman. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So Omar, see all the girls going, where are you going? Well, I'm going to go party. Take this hijab off and beat the daylight out of her. Wait a minute. Why Omar? Why you are upset that some slaves covered themselves with hijab? Man, they don't want to be raped by Muslim men. No. You want to protect the custom of the free woman. Free women are not to be touched or to be raped, but other Muslim slaves can be touched and raped. This is the reality of hijab. That's why Muslims in Europe do not like the government of Europe to not allow Muslim women to wear full burqa because they're afraid. The same evil men in Muhammad days in Medina are the same evil Muslim men who live in Europe. A man get excited as Muhammad taught him. When you get excited, yep, take care of yourself with your wife. Put on the tent and take care of your wife. Now he's excited. He doesn't have a tent. He see a lady in the street. He will rape her. If they rape the British, if they don't have British, they will rape anything moves. Anything moves. Go ahead, Christy.
Oh, Usama, I'm trying to get the video to Adam, and I think we've got it. I was just taking care of Adam, our radio show.
I thought maybe you have a thought. Adam, do you have any thought about what we covered so far?
I have a thought, and the thought is Islam is horrible. I mean, I believe that as we talked about earlier, these women who have been left in Afghanistan, especially those who are not Muslim, you know, we saw right away that the women began covering themselves when the American military left and there were no more evacuations. You saw a whole change and the women putting the hijab on. And many who, like, were running businesses, that all went away. That's because this is what Islam is. I mean, am I understanding that right? It's terrifying. Terrifying.
And you know what? It will never get any better. But sadly, the liberals will not say that. I mean, you see the stupid from CNN and MSNBC when some of these ladies went there as a reporter. They all wear the hijab.
Yeah.
When they go to Saudi Arabia, they all wear the hijab. As a matter of fact, under Obama, they forced our Air Force ladies to wear the hijab. We're protecting the Saudi by our Air Force and making our women wear the hijab. What a sick country. It seems to me, if it's Clinton, if it's Obama, if it's O'Biden, the bunch of garbage, wicked, weak presidents who are willing to bow down to the Muslims, even when we're protecting the Muslims. Wait until the Muslims have the upper hand. Then you need to protect your own wife. Maybe you will pass a law in America. Ladies of America, if you don't want to be raped by a Muslim man, wear the hijab. Wear the full hijab. Wear the burqa. As they did in England. Remember when they beheaded a British soldier in the streets of London?
No, it was horrible. Yeah. And
what did the British tell the American, the British soldiers?
Quit wearing
your
uniform.
Order the British soldiers.
Yeah, quit wearing your uniforms. Because now you're gonna be at fault if you get killed in the street and cut into pieces.
British, do not wear the uniform in your country. American, do not wear the uniform in America. American lady, wear the hijab if you want to protect yourself. You don't want to be raped, you or your daughter, wear the hijab. That's exactly what's coming from it. So anyway, gentlemen, here's the end of the story. This is the Muslim hijab, and that is the true hijab. Other hijab, if you can see the woman, if you can see her face, if you can see her eyes, for sure you know who she is. That's a no-no in Islam. The true hijab, a small hole in front of the left eye, so they see where they want. Now, let's talk about polygamy. Let's talk about polygamy.
Before you go to polygamy, if you want to run the video, I can do that.
I'm sorry, Adam, what?
If you want me to run the video, I can do that now.
Right now? Well, let's go.
I can do it like now, or if you want to cover polygamy, it's up to you.
No, it's fine. I didn't want to put that as a video because it's sad. It is really sad. And let's pray for this one not to continue. And let's pray that our Governor County High School senior. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Sorry. I just added it and it started working. Playing that now. Let me know when you want me to stop it.
Is in the hospital after collapsing on the tennis courts.
Breaking new details on the death of a high school soccer player.
Finland, Denmark star man Christian Eriksen collapsing towards the end of the first half.
The Kennedy High community mourning tonight after one of their high school football players died.
A South Carolina high school football player has died after collapsing at football practice. Star college basketball player collapsing on the court. We want to warn you. The video may be difficult to watch.
Florida Gators star Giontae Johnson collapsing during the game.
A West Catholic high school student has died after collapsing during a football scrimmage.
On mile 8, she suddenly felt fuzzy and blacked out.
17-year-old Ryan Jacobs' heart stopped.
Unexpectedly collapsed on the field.
Megan went into cardiac arrest.
Collapsing during Friday night's football game.
The reason for his collapse is unknown.
The reason why Manny collapsed in the first place still isn't known.
So you might be wondering how someone in such great shape could suffer cardiac arrest.
It's a rare thing that happens.
Says the condition is rare. It's just one of those tragedies.
Did she have any signs before this race?
Absolutely not. She felt like she was in the best shape of her life.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I don't think the media will ever tell us the truth about how much.
Goodness, he's going down there, Eriksen. That's worrying.
He collapsed. He collapsed.
Well, this is really disturbing.
So back to the one referees.
This does look serious.
You know what, Adam, Christy, I believe when the real story will be told, when we find the real reaction or the real effect of this vaccine on people, it will be too late. They're already giving people the third shot. And I believe from now on, every 6 months, they're going to have fourth shot, fifth shot, sixth shot, and the number of people will be dropping dead like that. My advice to you, If you took shot number one, don't take number two. If you took number one and two, don't take number three.
That's right.
Because most likely, you're going to end being like with those people. Yes. If this was anything else, not the vaccine shot, Chris, let me say it again. If this one player, healthy, 30 years old, or 35 years, running like a camel, very strong, dropped like that, after he took the vaccine shot, or if you drop like that, if he was not with vaccination, something else, don't you think this will be on Fox News and CNN and CBS all day long?
Well, yes, Usama, and I will tell you, we also had the a gentleman, I think he was 53, and he was known as a commentator making fun of people who were afraid to be vaccinated. He took his third shot and died in his sleep. I think it was like the next night. So we don't know what's happening, but this is...
How about the governor of California?
Yeah,
that
well...
idiot who for 2 weeks hide from the media, and he canceled his very important trip to Europe for the fixing the air, fixing the universe, fixing... It was like one of those gods was going to fix the green earth.
Economy.
And
yeah, I mean, the ecological, whatever it was. But
okay, he's going to fix Mother Earth, okay? He was going to make sure that the temperature will not go any higher because we don't want the snow to melt and we're going to be flooded, okay? Water's going to go under the water. That idiot canceled trip, and he lied. Oh, because it's a Halloween. He was supposed to speak 2 days later between here and Europe. What, 8 hours, 10 hours? Enjoy the Halloween with your children and then go to Europe. He was affected severely by the vaccine shot.
Well,
he had a big problem, and we don't know what it is.
Usama, I want you to know we have friends who have family connections with young. Remember that what they're doing is for these players to be able to get out there and play. They were forcing them to take the vaccine. So we know that... probably in every case, these players had been vaccinated. And this is where all these reports were local news because these were audiences in the hundreds or thousands who saw it. And, of course, the local news put it on. And in each case, they go, oh, this is so rare. This is so rare. Well, if it's so rare, how come we're talking about
it? I wonder what happened to these players.
Yeah.
I wonder what causes him to drop dead. I wonder. Oh. Maybe drink Coca-Cola before the show.
Cardio arrhythmia problems and this swelling of the heart has been seen as a major side effect for young men.
And we do not know the full story
yet.
Yeah,
it's terrible. It's terrible.
And we do not know what's going to happen after the third shot or the fourth shot.
Well,
we don't know what is the reaction 5 years from now or even 10 years from now if they don't even take any more shots.
Yeah, that's true for these young kids. We don't know how it's going to affect their physical, emotional, psychological development in the future. Yeah. This is a terrible thing to do to anyone, but especially they're trying to force this on children now.
Let's move on. I hope, guys, that you pray for those who took the first shot that they will not take the second one. And pray for the one who took the second shot, they will not take the third one. And I pray for those who never took any shot, never to touch this chemical inside their body.
You
should try this medicine on dogs and cats and pigs for 2-3 years before they put it inside a human body. And even after you know for sure that the animals will not die with this shot or there's no any bad side effects, you should only ask those who are voluntarily willing to take it. You don't force medicine on people. You don't force any medicine on people. I want to die with corona. I don't want to die with that stupid shot. Who do you think you are to control my body, make me die with the shot, not with corona?
Yeah.
I love to die with corona. Let me die with corona. It's my body. I do whatever I want to do with it.
You know, Usama, it's important as people are seeing this, some individuals who are refusing to be vaccinated, and I have people in my own family are facing this. They're losing their jobs if they will not agree to be vaccinated. But I will tell you, you can get another job. You can't get another life. And so the support, it's out there all around the country. If you have a concern, Join groups that are against the mandate. They do not want people forced to take these shots in order to keep their jobs. This is so unconstitutional. It is so evil. And thank the Lord right now the courts stopped people from being forced to take this. But, you know, they, Democrats, I'm sorry, the liberals, whoever they are, they always think if they can get enough money to grease somebody's hand, they call that bribery, that they can get this overturned because they'll pay some judge a lot of money to try and overturn this block. So keep praying for people and stand up for it.
I just got a text message today from a friend of mine. His name is Marty. He works, he's in our military, believe it or not. I know this brother for 21 years. We went to school together 1 year before September 11th. And he said, I requested a religious exemption to not take the current vaccine and went in detail of my belief. 2 weeks ago, my supervisor sent it back, so I resent it with a one-sentence statement saying no. Here's a guy who served our military for over, he was in the military, by the way, before I met him in school. See, I don't know, 25 years, whatever. And they're going to find him. He actually needs just a few months so he can have his, what do you call this, when you retire?
He will have a retirement pension from the military.
Yeah, retirement pension. But most likely they're going to fire him a few months before his right age of retirement so he would lose his pension.
Oh, yeah. They
and Matt, willing to die for America for 20-some years, are we going to fire him just because he refused to take the vaccination so he will not have future financial help?
Yeah.
Is this right? Is this fair? But at the same time, Christy, if you come in illegal in this country, there's no problem. We'll give you $450,000 if you separate from your mom and dad. Whom, by the way, many of these people whom Mr. Trump separated from mother and dad, they were separated from strangers. They're not mom and dad. But somehow they're going to give them money. Let's move on with our study. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Okay, I just want to acknowledge that a couple people have said they've had friends pass away who were healthy.
We
want to pray for all of those who are suffering and certainly those who have lost loved ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I do not know. Can you see my screen with Dr. Raqiya Abdelmaqsood? What about polygamy?
I can't see it yet.
All right, Adam can help me out here, brother.
Hey, brother.
Do you see it? All right, here we go.
The prophet, of course, lived in a time when continual warfare produced large numbers of widows. In these circumstances, polygamy was encouraged as an act of charity. Needless to say, the widows were not necessarily sexy young women, but usually mothers of up to 6 children who came as part of the deal.
Usually mother of 20 children, and they were ugly, and they're in their 50s or maybe in their 60s. Okay. Listen carefully, guys. Listen carefully. When you talk to Dr. Raqiya Abdelmaqsood on the subject of Islam and war, Islam and jihad, you know what she would tell you? Islam is the most loving, peaceful religion. Muhammad never involved in any war, and if they ever perform jihad, it is only defensive war. Muhammad lived in harmony and in peace and love with the Jews and the Christians and everybody else. That's what they would tell you. But if you talk about 4 wives, you have to understand them. This is a bad time in the history of Islam because the Prophet, of course, lived at a time when continuing warfare produced large number of widows. You see, ask me a question. I said, what do you mean by that question? Okay, why Islam allowed 4 wives? Or because we have a lot of war. Why Islam is spread by the war? No. It was very peaceful and very loving. And both of them are right. It's just when you ask a question, and if you ask a few questions to make sure why you ask new questions. Continuing warfare. Why Muhammad was continuing warfare if he's a loving and peaceful prophet? I don't know. Now, in these circumstances, polygamy was encouraged as an act of charity. Because we got lots of widows. The husband is killed. Now he left the four wives. Another guy left four wives. Another guy left four wives. Now we got plenty of extra wives. What do? We encourage people, please marry these women as an act of charity. Excuse me. Do you have to sleep with them to feed them? Let me say it again. Does a Muslim man have to rape all these women and molest all these women and have sex with all these women to do charity? I mean, can't you feed the poor just for the sake of Allah without raping them, without having sex with them? I mean, how many Christian charities all over the world right now in the Muslim world? We got millions and millions of dollars go from America to feed the poor Muslims in planet Earth. But the American people are not sleeping with these women, are they? They're not. If you're going to sleep with a woman to do charity, what kind of charity are you doing? You might as well buy yourself a couple of slaves or hire two prostitutes. It's the same thing. Now, needless to say, these widows were not necessarily sexy young women. Let me remind you, we're going to talk about a little bit later about it. When Muhammad married Aisha, he was 51 years old. And he married Aisha and she was 6. So when Muhammad was 54, he was already involved sexually with Aisha. 954. And that is a noble example. Let's think that this is the normal in Muhammad days. When Muhammad had a fighter, people to go and fight with him, jihad, to seek Allah. These are the men who die in the continual warfare. How old do you think these men were? Maybe 100 years old? Or maybe 80? Or maybe 20? It makes sense, Adam. If you're going to have an army, strong army, to go fight the enemy, you need them young and strong like horses, strong like camels. You don't, Muhammad did not hire men in their 70s, most likely in their 20s, okay? He got the 20s and the 30s. When Muhammad was 50, he was married to Aisha and she was 6. A man in his 20s, how old do you think his wife? 55? With 7 kids or 10 kids? Come on, Christy, I know you're laughing, but it's not funny. Think with me. Muhammad is 50 years old and he married a 6 years old child. Now, men who are fighting or 20 years old, do they marry women in the 50s and 60s or women in 10 years old? 20 marry 10, 30 marry 15. If a woman is 15 years old, do you think she's sexy or she's ugly? A 14, 15 years old wife, she have what, 10 kids? Why, she stopped having baby when she was 4?
It's crazy. No, of course not.
When you talk about Aisha, brother, Allah gave the revelation to Muhammad to marry her. Who is anybody else to say otherwise? The rest of your stuff, it makes sense in today's world, not in back then.
Yeah. what I'm saying, Heather, is just that woman here, she's a professor. That woman, she wrote 30 books. That woman became a Muslima, married a Muslim Pakistani man who left her for his cousin, a lot younger than her. That woman is the dumb of the dumb of England. If there's any person more stupid than that woman, I don't know what this evil is. Walk on their hair? Walk on their head?
She married a Pakistani?
Muslim guy. Yeah. Dr. Ruqiyah bin Maksud, may Allah be pleased with her and her ex-husband. Anyway, he left her anyway. But what I'm saying is, here's an English teacher. She does not know how to lie. So polygamy is a charity work. And girls, the Muslim men marry were not sexy. They would have 6 kids, or maybe 10.
Well, probably that guy left her because of the false teaching that she has and false ideology that she has, because the Pakistani Muslim man knows that polygamy is their right. In Pakistan, that has been taught to us since the beginning.
But
you know how many family members of mine has multiple wives?
30 years ago, When the Pakistani in England were small, tiny minority, they want to marry British woman. They want to become a citizen. They told them the same song. They sing to the British beautiful ladies the same song they sing to the stupid America today. I love you, sweetheart. You're everything to me. Without you, I could not live one more day or one hour. I might as well die. Let me go commit suicide unless you marry me. Sweetheart, you're everything to me. One wife for life. I'm not a Muslim. I don't practice Islam. Islam, this is garbage. The four wives, garbage. But you are my love. You're everything for me. I can't live without you. They learned the song, the British song, the British American song, and they think it's the stupid British. That's why she married. Maybe today, the Pakistani in England can openly say, it is my right. But 30-some years ago, when she fell in love with that Muslim husband, he will make her walk on in the air, man. She loved.
And that's where comes Hayal.
Yeah.
The Sunni way of lying and deception. Hayal. Thank you so very much.
Exactly. Now, I want to share with you a couple of things. Why a man in Islam, by the way, there's so many reasons, but here's the two reasons, the top two reasons, which I know from my experience living in Egypt. Why Muslims look for the second, third, or fourth wife? Number one, he's not satisfied with her sexually. Remember now, in a Muslim, a woman cannot have sex during the period. And man cannot be single during this time. So he get two wives. So if he got two wives, he knows that every night he'll be able to be involved with it. Can you imagine that? Muslim man cannot wait for that time to pass so he can be with his wife. He get another one, and a third one, and a fourth one, okay? Now, if she was not able to conceive him a boy, I mean, first of all, if a woman cannot have any babies, that's a curse. If she only have a girl, and then another girl, and another girl, another girl. I mean, what a man is patient is limited. A man in the Muslim world believes one boy equal better than 10 girls. When he gets his wife pregnant, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, every time she gave him a baby girl, he is sick and tired of her. He has the right to say to her, I'm sorry, I love you, but I need a son, so I have to marry another wife. Another wife. These are two ridiculous reasons. Believe it or not, we cover the pregnancy and the baby boy, baby girl in detail in our presentation, The Miracles of Muhammad. We'll do it in the future. We'll do it in the future.
Let me add a third point, sorry. You missed a very important point, which is very prevalent in Pakistan at least, that after marriage and after bearing the child, the first child, now she's fat. She is not as sexy. Her bosoms are not the way they were previously. I'm telling you the truth, brother. Like,
I said there are many reasons. I just picked up these two because they're bright ones.
And this is, I think this one should go on the top number one, according to me and according to Pakistan, because that's the reality. You are not what you were when I married you. This is the sentence. And yes, that's when they marry another girl.
Well, a man marry a woman for one reason, is for her beauty, for her private activity, sexual part, and for her riches. That's the three reasons why Muhammad said man marry woman. If she's fat and ugly and her body became like, you know, time for him to get another one, younger one. I know it. There are many reasons, by the way, many reasons. So, but these are the two top which I like to speak about in church. Now listen to what Dr. Rukia really said about polygamy and today. Polygamy and today. She said,
for various good reasons. The Quran states that wives need to be treated fairly and equally, a difficult requirement even for a rich man. Moreover, if a husband wishes to take a second wife, he should not do so if the marriage will be to the detriment of the first.
I love it. Polygamy is no longer common for many reasons. What is the reason? The first one is the Quran states that wives need to be treated equally, fairly and equally. Wait a minute. You mean in Muhammad days when the Quran was fresh, hot, coming from Allah, just coming from down from Allah, it was not okay for women to be treated equally and fairly? Wait a minute. Why it is today, this is the common reason today, that it's no longer right. It was right in Muhammad days. And for the idea that fairly and equally, no, it is equally, fairly and equally, fairly. Well, let's see. Did Muhammad treat his wife fairly and equally? No, don't forget now, Muhammad is the noblest example. Did Muhammad treat Sauda bint Zim'a the same way he treated Ayusha, this beautiful little child? Why?
Brother, she forfeited her night
by herself.
Because Muhammad was about to divorce her.
Okay, so how about, did Muhammad treat Aisha, his favorite wife? You know when he say, this is my favorite wife, this is my favorite son, this is my favorite daughter. That word favorite itself, it tells me there's no equality. There is no fairness, okay? Did Muhammad treat Aisha as much as he treated Hafsa, the daughter of Amr, or Zainab, the daughter of Jahsh, or Safiya, the daughter of Hayy? Did Muhammad treat his wives equally and fairly? Yes or no?
No, because Allah did say in the verse of Quran, which she did not reveal, that Allah is most forgiving if you can't do it. She's not giving you any verse, brother. Like, how can you take her teaching? She doesn't give you any verse of Quran.
That is the beauty. When Muslims in the West talk about Islam, if they are from a background Muslim country or they are from England or America, you can read their article. You can literally read an article, 10 pages. And guess what? They forgot to mention a verse from the Quran or a saying of Muhammad. They forgot. Like when Dr. Sahar spoke at New Orleans University, which started this myth. The reason I put this presentation together literally 18 years ago, 19 years ago, is because of Dr. Sahar. And I asked her, where you come up with this Islam? She said, this is what is in the Quran. This is the word of Allah. This is what we Muslims always believe and practice. I said, but you did not quote me one verse. And that's exactly what Dr. Rukaya is doing here. That's exactly what any Muslim man or woman would be talking about the subject of Islam and women or any of the other subjects which we're going to be teaching. All of them, they just make up stuff.
Yeah.
They're making up stuff. Okay? So, fairly and equality. And here you go. If I want to have another wife, I want to make sure that that will not, he should not do so if this marriage will be to the determinant of the first. So I got my phone. I dial my wife now. Here we go. Call Vicky. Thank you. Hey, honey. How are you? I'm doing good. You doing okay? Oh, I love you, baby. You know you're my favorite wife. I mean, you're the best. I love you. I even love your mother. Yeah, but she's the best mother-in-law I ever had. Listen. If you put the whole women of the world in front of me, you are number one. You're the best. I love you, baby. You know that. Oh, sure. Hey, I'll get you some watermelon when I come home this week, okay? But here's the deal. I saw this woman. Yeah. Her name is Nancy. I mean, she's not beautiful or anything, you know. She's just, another woman, you know. Her husband died while performing jihad. She's a widow. She needs some help, you know. I want to do it as a sheriff. Listen up, babe. I don't love her. I don't, you know that. I love you. But I want to marry her as charity. Would you mind? You don't mind, honey? Oh, thank you so much. I love you, baby. Because listen. I want to make sure that you are first. She is second. Or actually, maybe she's 20. I'm not going to even enjoy my relationship with her, but I just want to do it just, you know, a piece of her and cheap. She loves her husband, you know, jihad. Allah. Oh, may Allah make us of those who die as a martyr. For, oh, hey. Love you, honey. Okay, baby. I'm going to spend a couple of weeks with her, and I'm going to come and see you. And, hey, I'm going to bring watermelon with me. Trust me. I'm going to get you some dates, too. Good dates. Sorry, good dates. What? You want some camel urine? I'll make sure I got enough camel urine for you, too. Love you, baby. Bye. Imagine with me, this is how Muhammadans practiced Islam in the early days of Muhammad. They get permission from their wife. Can I marry another wife, honey? What does this woman drink? I don't know what the British teachers drink. What is this woman? She maybe have enough camel urine that she lost her brain. Where did they come up with
that.
Help me, Christy. Help me, us.
Well, Usama, if you didn't lie about Islam, why would any woman want to become Muslim? They have to lie about it. That's the whole thing. It's just propaganda.
So polygamy is no longer exist in Pakistan or in Saudi Arabia or in Egypt or in Indonesia, Adam. That's right.
That's
polygamy is no longer common.
That's the biggest lie in the history of the world, right?
Do you know that polygamy is growing in England and in America, that in most Muslim countries because of the warfare?
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. It should. And by the way, brother, even in America, you don't know. And if you know that, that's good then. They live like girlfriends according to the law, but they marry in the masjid, in the mosque, in the Islamic center.
Adam, I talked to a policeman in New York. One time I was speaking at church in New York, North Carolina, 15 years ago. And these two cops from the church, they came, shook my hand, and they said, Usama? I said, yes. When I was doing that presentation, I was talking about this life. That's exactly. He said, what you talk about polygamy is true. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's big here in North Carolina. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we were involved in some cases, me and my partner here. And we go to a man, a lady, somebody make a phone call about some, you know, violence or something, or argument. And we find out that's a guy who actually has three other wives, and they're all divorced. Wife number one divorced on paper. Wife number two divorced on paper. Wife number three divorced on paper. And he have a fourth wife. But what they realize is this, Adam. Listen up, Kirby. Listen, Kirby. That man who is having four women, three are divorced wives on paper, and the fourth he left was her. Okay? All of them have babies in the same ages. Like she have a baby 2 years old and five and seven, three and six and eight, one and four and five. You see, can you imagine that? He's getting them all pregnant at the same time. So I said, wait a minute. You know this is polygamy. He said, yes. I said, can't you stop it? Can't you arrest him for doing so? That was a good 17 years ago, 16 years ago. He said, no, we can't. I said, what do you mean you can't? He said, because legally, he have one wife. I said, but he's getting all pregnant. Oh, yeah, you can sleep with many girlfriends in America. Or your ex-wife. And they said, we cannot stop him from going to his ex-wife's house because he's going there to spend time with his children. She got three babies. And the fourth coming up next month, he's going to get her pregnant again. And what he does was one, it is with the other three, ex-wife and his wife, whom he's still married to. So here we go, polygamy in America. And it's grown in America until these stupid teachers like Dr. Rukia Abdul Maksud.
That's, thank you so very much for this explanation, which is actually really well, and I know that. And this is the reality. Brother, in Pakistan, this is so much clear. In America, it is so very clear. You just need to know the Muslimi from inside their houses. As soon as you know, as I know, I have been a Muslim. Dude, things are very different. I tell you, there is a face, and then there is the inside. And
sure,
they are very different. You know, they say the elephant has two types of teeth, one to show and one to eat.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Welcome to Islam. Welcome to Islam. So, let's see the word of Allah to see what did Allah say about equally, let's forget he said, that these many wives need to be treated, he will watch it, they need to be treated fairly and equally. She did not quote the Quran, I will quote the Quran for her. Here is the word of Allah to say about fairly and equally. Quran chapter 4, verse 3.
Among the orphans, so marry what appeals to you from the women, 2 and 3 and 4. So if you fear that you will not treat them equally, so one wife, or have sex with what your right hand possesses.
Here's the word. So here's the word. Fairly, taqsutu, and equally, ta'dilu. Two words she used in that verse. But listen, we're not talking about a holy union here. You only marry one if you are not going to treat them fairly and equally. This is the word of Allah. If you fear that you cannot deal fairly among the orphans, the fairly 20 have nothing to do with the wives. The 30 is among the orphans. I am trying for the last 40 years of my life. First time I read this verse, I was teenage, okay, 15, 16 or so. 45 years ago, until today, I'm trying to figure out what Muslim treatment fairly with the orphans has anything to do with having sex with all these wives and unlimited number of concubines. The thing is, when khuftum alla taqsutu fil yatama, and if you fear that you cannot deal fairly among the orphans, are Muslim men supposed to have sex with the orphans?
If you have an orphan, you can marry her. That's not a problem. So you can adopt an orphan child, girl, and when she grows old and she is beautiful and you want to marry her, you can simply marry her. That's Quran, brother. Don't you know that?
So let's go back again to Dr. Ruqayya earlier. They have polygamy as an act of charity. So a man will have sex with a woman so he can feed her. He cannot feed her without having sex with her. Understand? Understand. Now, if they have orphans, they have to treat them fairly. What is the fairlier? Oh, you don't have sex with them unless you're going to marry them. What man with logic or common sense will believe that Allah, the God of Muhammad, the God of Islam, will write this garbage in his Quran chapter 4, verse 3? That they're going to be treating these orphans fairly. Don't rape them. Don't have sex with them. Orphans. Little children whom the daddy died performing jihad for the sake of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Now the daughters will be raped by the other Muslim men or be treated with respect as father to the... But you see, father-daughter means nothing. Grandfather to granddaughter means nothing, because when Muhammad, the noble example, was a grandpa, he was actually married to his granddaughter Ayusha. Okay. So now we're gonna marry. So marry what appealed to you from the woman. Start with what? One. No. Two.
That's the worst, man.
Hello, what are you smoking, man? Listen. So marry what appeals to you from the women? Two.
Two.
Why can't you marry just one?
There is no one there, brother. It's in the next verse.
No. Notice here. I have to be a little bit blunt with you. And I talk to you as a brother or as a friend. He did not say actually marry. Why? Because to use the word marry, you cannot use the word to. Explain this to you. In Arabic here, when khuftum alla taqsutu fil yatama, fankahu, not fatazawwaju. Tazawwaju means marry, make a pair. Oh, marry, make a pair. A man and one wife, make a pair. So marry, tatazawaj. Tazawaj means make a zawaj, make a pair. But Allah did not say, so marry one. He said, so have sex with two. Because linguistically, you cannot use the word marry and the word two together. Because that's not zawaj. That's a pair and an extra one. Hello, my dear Muslim friends. This is your Quran. This is your Allah. This is your Muhammad. Why Muhammad did not use the word tazawwaju, marry, but he used fankahu, so if, that is the word. The word here is not have sex. Okay? It is the word if. So if, two, not marry. Let's continue. So, two, and then it says, and three. You cannot use marry with three. Because now you got double marriage, a man and three women, okay? Bear and bear, that's four. Actually, you know what? They cannot be working that way. Because you see, man and three women, one pair, two pairs, that's three marriages. There's no work, okay? And four. By the way, it is and, not or. Look, listen. فَانْكَحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. So have sex or have whatever you desire as a woman. Two, and, wa, and, three, the last, wa, and four. So if you make the number right, two plus three is five, plus four is nine, Maybe Muhammad was practicing Islam right. He married 9 wives. Some Muslims think that he can marry 9 wives. Because Allah said, he didn't say 2 or 3 or 4, as some garbage translation will put it. No, 2 and 3 and 4. But that's not the end of it. So if you fear that you cannot treat them equally, what, which man with logic or common sense can marry 2 women and treat them equally? Not 3 or 4, no, no, just 2. It is impossible. It is impossible for a man to serve 2 masters. It is impossible for a man to love God and love money, because you cannot do it both ways. It is impossible for a man to marry 2 wives and treat them equally. He's going to favor one above the other. He's going to love one above the other, unless they are perfect twins. Not like they know that one egg split the 2. Where if he is with one, he does not know if he's with this one or that one. It has to be perfect twins. But if one of them 10, 15, 20 years younger than the other one, trust me, he's his favorite wife. Like Muhammad did with his favorite wife, Ayusha. Ayusha, the mother of all believers, it was Muhammad's favorite wife. Now, someone, you're not going to be able to use me equally, someone, okay? So one what? Now, in that case, I would say one wife. Because if you're married to one, now it's a wife, it's a husband and wife. It's his marriage. It's his doge. It's a pair, one pair, okay? Now, we don't stop here like Muslims love to do. I love it when Muslims quote that verse and say, so one, and they both appear, no. We have some account of the wife. Why? Or, that's the rest of the verse, or have sex with what your right hand possesses. That is slaves and concubines. How many, Adam, how many concubines or slaves a Muslim man can have? Do you have any limited number, Adam? Tell me how.
No upper limit. No upper limit.
I mean, can I have 20?
How about 200?
200. 200. How about 500? Do we know any Khalifa who has 700?
Yeah.
Okay, so wait a minute. Do you think if a Muslim man, listen carefully, listen guys, I'm not saying that's not a trick, that's reality. If a Muslim man is married to one wife and he has next to her not one slave, but 10 slaves, 15 slaves, is he treating that wife fairly and equally?
He doesn't have to know. You cannot have a treatment of slave. Hurmat, there is no hurmat with a slave there. So you don't have to treat a slave equally to your wife. That's just not required. Slave has no hurmat.
Okay. But how is that woman feel when he know he's sleeping with another 4, 5, 10 slaves while he's sleeping with her? Does this make her treat equally like a woman be married to one husband and one husband alone?
Ask Aisha and Hafsa when Muhammad had sex with Maria the Copt.
So,
I rest my case.
It's a good thought. Of course, Aisha and Hafsa will not like it. That's why Muhammad begged Hafsa, please don't tell Aisha. I beg. I kiss your hand. I kiss your feet. Don't tell Aisha. And guess what she did?
She told everyone.
She told the neighborhood. She actually called CNN and Fox and CBS, and the media was talking about it the entire time. Okay, so what I'm saying is, the idea of treating women equally and fairly, that is dumb. Because even if a Muslim man could not treat his 4 wives or 9 wives, how you want to interpret the verse, equally, he could not treat them equally. He could not treat them fairly. So he decided just to go with one wife. And while he's sleeping with that one wife, he go around and sleep with other slaves and other concubines. What is the treatment of that woman? I prefer, if I'm a woman, I prefer that my husband will have 3 or 4 women, than to have me as a free woman and treat me equal to a bunch of garbage slaves. You sleep with me like sleep with them. Really? What is the dignity of that woman?
But Allah has ordained upon that, brother.
Let's get one more verse, Adam. Yes, indeed. Let's get one more verse to show the...
Oh, great.
out that they may be pregnant. Their prescribed waiting time is 3 months, as well as for those who have not yet begun menstruation.
In the truth, ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad in the Quran is very clear that Muslim men can be involved sexually with little girls. In our next program, Roswell again, part four, I'm going to tell you the problem we had in England with child rape and its connection to the teaching of the Quran. This verse we have right now here, and Ayusha's own words about Muhammad marrying to her when she was a little girl. So just remember, Christy, I'm not going to ask you again, Christy, don't you dare give me the wrong number. Next week, Lord is willing, we're going to go to slide number 60, Christy, 60. That is 60. Lord is willing, we're going to go to this, a very important part of our study about Muslim marry little girl involved with them sexually, little girl who have not yet even begun the period time. And we're going to talk about Mama Aisha and how she really, really, really loved Baba Muhammad, that's the Prophet of Allah, and Mama Aisha, the mother of all believers, and her wonderful great marriage to Muhammad. This is not something I'm making up. I'm going to read you the Quran and the saying of the Hadith by Mama Aisha. Muhammad said, take half of your religion out of her. She's so special. She's so smart. She is like Muhammad's favorite wife. Not like, she's actually Muhammad's favorite wife. You know what I'm saying? So, 60, next week, we'll talk about marriage. And we're going to talk about the problem of rape, the problem of rape to women and girls in England. For example, Sweden and the rest of the Western world in the near future, near a city where you live. All right. I'm back for tonight, Chris.
Well, you saw my couple of things. I have to apologize to the people who are making comments, and sometimes they're directing things at me and asking me to comment. I don't have any way to respond to them except out loud. So I just want to tell a couple people that, yes, I saw their comments, and I appreciate what they're saying. They were making a couple of suggestions about some people to contact. I know you're familiar with Alex Jones, and also nice comments about the program. Thank you all. I have no way to respond to you. But I also had callers on Radio Jihad, and we didn't have an opportunity to get to them, so I apologize for that.
No, if you have one, you can bring in right now. We got 2 minutes.
He's gone. They're gone now. They went away before I could
Next time when you see us caller and you see somebody needs to talk to us, because you can read these comments and you can, it's very simple. Just stop me, squeeze me, hear you, Sama, after you finish that verse, after you finish the slide, we got a caller or something like that. To stop me anytime. They will not bother me. Trust me.
Well, you told me you couldn't see me, so I didn't have any way to let him.
He can hear you. He can hear you, sister. So you can speak up, and he can hear you. He can't see you. Yes, but he can hear you.
If I don't stop to get you in, just complain to Adam, and he can fire me. He can kick me out of the room. And you can talk and
talk. Sure, that'll work great. Anyway, we had a lot of great guests and comments. So, like I said, I can't really respond directly to people who are making comments. So.
And this is Christian Family Man, very old subscriber of my channel as well.
Yeah.
Saying that there was a suggestion for Sama to reach out to a man in Texas named Alex Jones.
Yeah, we're familiar.
You know, Alex knows me very well. He talked about me in one show. Actually, somebody talked to him about having you on show, and he said he will have you on show. But with COVID and all this crazy things changing around, but I was never able to be on his show. But hey,
we'll follow
up. Alex, send him a call, send him an email, send him a tweet. Tell me, brother Usama, say hello, and I would love to be on his show at his convenience.
There we go. And thank you, guys. We're going to be going off the air here on the Radio Jihad, and I'm going to try to solve a little bit of the volume problem because I blasted people's ears. I had turned up the
Christy, thing. You need to fix your ears. You need to fix your ears. Go ahead,
no,
Adam.
They were saying they couldn't hear, and I turned it up, and then you came back and said, whoa! It was so loud. Oh, my gosh. I'm so
I'd like to show what you are saying to our viewers so that they could have a live seeing far. Okay. Let's see what Google says. So, okay. The next word that Usama is saying is not marriage. Let's see what the Google says.
When people read my English translation of the Quran, I challenge Muslims to show me what is my error. Allah for Muslims to tell me that I lied in my translation and show me my mistake, because trust me, if there is any error in my translation, it is an honest mistake, and I will apologize for it. And in the next print, I will make sure we'll put the correction according to Muslim opinion. But so far, we could not find one wrong word in my translation.
Now check what the sentence is.
They've changed it. Oh, my gosh.
Same word. It moved from have sex to marriage. Miraculously, you put the word of the Quran, it has different meaning. You put the word separate, it's completely different meaning. So the Google, Prophet Google, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's prayer and peace be on him, is now controlled by the Muslims. I'm not kidding you. I can put you hundreds and hundreds of examples to prove my point. They have two ways to translate the same word. If it's a verse in the Quran, it goes the clean way, marry. If it's just a word, it is just have sex.
Usama, we need to close out the radio broadcast, so I want to tell everybody thank you. And
all right. Well, let's
ready
go,
to go
on here. God bless you all. Adam, thank you so much. I appreciate your help. Christy, all those who are watching us on StreamYard, on YouTube, God bless you all. Please, please listen carefully to the last closing statement, because that's more important than all what we talked about tonight. And I hope and I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart in the next 2.5 minutes. But at the same time, like us, ring the bell, share our YouTube videos with others. May the Lord continue to bless you and bless this ministry as we continue to grow together. Thanks to everybody. Anybody have one more last word? Going one? Going twice? All right. Here's our closing invitation.
According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed. That's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam.